In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Many people are confused on the question of how we should understand the role of the law in the light of many of the statements that you find in the New Testament, particularly for St. Paul, one of which we read in the first epistle reading. And many people take these statements, or some of these statements, to suggest that the law has been done away with. One of the problems that we have when it comes to understanding what the scriptures are talking about when it talks about the law is that it's used in a number of different senses in the New Testament. There are many places where it's used in reference to the five books of Moses. And you don't find any suggestion anywhere in the New Testament that as Christians we reject the five books of Moses or that they are no longer of any value. As a matter of fact, if you look at the books that Christ cited the most in the Gospels, Deuteronomy was one of the most cited books in the entire Old Testament. The law is also used in reference to the moral law of God, which preceded the law of Moses. And that law reflects the immutable righteousness of God and his demands on us as a result of that righteousness. There are certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong, and they were wrong before the law of Moses was given on Mount Sinai, and they're still wrong today. But in the Old Testament, you do have ceremonial laws and civil laws, which we're not bound by, because in the case of the ceremonial law of the Old Testament, the worship of the Old Testament and many of the rituals and customs that are described in the Old Testament pointed to Christ who was to come. But when Christ came, he has established a more excellent worship, as St. Paul refers to in the book of Hebrews, and that we have the fullness of what the Old Testament foresaw only in shadows. It's not that what was in the Old Testament was wrong and what comes in the New Testament corrects it. It's that what we see in the Old Testament is shrouded in types and shadows, and what we find in the New Testament is what we saw, the same thing we saw in the Old Testament, but revealed more clearly. Also, we're not in the Old Testament Israel, and so the purely civil aspects of the law of Moses no longer apply to us. But both the civil law that we read about in the law of Moses as well as the old ceremonial law still have value in that there are many spiritual truths that can be discerned from reading them. So there's no part of the Old Testament that we can just say we don't even need to bother to read that anymore because it doesn't have any bearing on us as Christians. St. Paul also talks about the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death basically is the truth that Christ spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden when he said that in the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. In other words, this is one thing that I'm telling you not to do, and if you do that, you're going to die. And also in the prophecy of Ezekiel, it says the soul that sins shall die. That's the law of sin and death. If you sin, you're going to die. But we're told by St. Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's not because that law was untrue. It's because Christ paid the penalty in our place. So we are free from the old ceremonial law and the civil law that we read about in the Old Testament. We're not bound by it. Not that we don't need to study it, but that we are not bound by it in its literal sense. But we are never free from the moral law of God, like the kinds of things that we read about in the Ten Commandments and other moral laws in the Old Testament. It's very popular today, and you see people circulating blog posts or articles on the web where they try to denigrate moral truths of the Scriptures by referring to the ceremonial law and acting as if it had the same weight as the moral law. For example, you see homosexual activists that will say, well, the Old Testament says that you're not supposed to eat shrimp, and we eat shrimp, so therefore, since we don't care what the Old Testament has to say about eating shrimp, why should we care about what it has to say about homosexuality? But the difference is we know that the kosher laws were clearly ceremonial and not moral laws because God never condemned the heathen because they didn't obey the kosher laws. He never said, I'm driving out the nations before you because these people eat pork and shrimp. But he did say, I'm driving out the nations before you because they're engaged in sexual immorality. They offer their children as sacrifice to idols. and they are unjust to the poor. These are the kinds of things that are laws that apply to everybody, and they always have and they always will. So there's a distinction that's very clear in the Old Testament, and also that specific teaching of the Old Testament is restated in several places in the New Testament very clearly. And so one has to try to ignore what the Scriptures say to act as if we don't really know what the Scriptures teach about the question of homosexuality. And we can be free from the law of sin and death, but the question is how does that happen? How do we make that a reality in our life? In Romans chapter 2, verse 13, St. Paul says, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." And then in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Now, when you read those two quotations side by side, you might say, well, wait a minute. On the one hand, he said the doers of the law will be justified. And then in Galatians, he says that we're not justified by the works of the law. So did St. Paul forget what he had written in Romans when he wrote the book of Galatians? No. As a matter of fact, he says trying to be saved by the works of the law is not just ineffectual, but it's positively sinful. So what does he mean? A doer of the law is someone who actually keeps the law of God. In other words, they obey the moral law, the principles of the law that are still valid today. But those that try to save themselves by the works of the law are trying to save themselves by keeping the letter of the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. Or even if they're not trying to do that, it's also possible for Christians to try to be saved by their works in that they think, well, if I just do this, this, and this, then I'll be saved. And if we look at our salvation that way, we're not looking at it in the right way. We are saved by grace through faith. St. Paul makes this very clearly, and not by works. But when it says that we're saved by grace through faith, it's not saying that our faith can be without works. As a matter of fact, St. James very clearly says that we're not saved by faith alone. So we are saved by grace through faith that works by love, St. Paul says in another place. And so it's not as if we can just do whatever we want and simply believe that God is merciful and that we will be saved. We have to have a faith that actually works by love. St. Paul, in Romans chapter 9, verse 31, says, "Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law." So pursuing the law of righteousness is not presented to St. Paul as a false goal, but trying to be saved or achieving that righteousness by the works of the law is. But what do the fathers have to say on this question? I could quote many fathers that point out the distinction between the moral and ceremonial law and how we are saved, but I'll just quote one. St. Jerome says, "Some say that if St. Paul is right in asserting that no one is justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ, the patriarchs and prophets and saints who lived before Christ were imperfect. We should tell such people that those who are said not to have obtained righteousness are those who believe that they can be justified by works alone. The saints who lived long ago, however, were justified by faith in Christ, seeing that Abraham saw in advance Christ's day." So no one has ever been saved by works. No one was saved by works in the Old Testament, and no one's ever going to be saved by works because it's impossible for us to earn our salvation. But we are saved by grace through faith that works. The ceremonial law had an instructive role in the Old Testament, but now the reality that those things pointed to has come, and so they've been superseded by the worship and piety of the church. St. Paul was dealing with those who argued that all of the letter of the ceremonial law had to be kept for one to be saved. And he argues that we are not saved by keeping the letter of the old law, but by embracing the spirit of the law, the things that these rituals and customs pointed to. In Romans chapter 3, verse 31, St. Paul asks rhetorically, "Do we make void the law through faith?" And he says, "God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." And the word that's used there, or the phrase, "God forbid," is the strongest possible denial that you could state in Greek. He's saying, absolutely not. we are establishing the law. So it's the spirit of the law that we are bound to, that we are bound to obey, and that we are trying to fulfill in the New Testament. He does not for one minute suggest that the moral law is optional or that we can violate it with indifference and expect to be saved. So though we are not saved by the works of the law, the keeping of the letter of the Old Testament, ceremonial law, this does not mean that the Old Testament is of no value, nor does it mean that the moral law of God is something that we can ignore. Christ said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And we have to keep in mind that Christ gave the law on Mount Sinai. Christ is the same God that gave us the Old Testament and inspired it. And so it's not as if we have a good God in the New Testament and a bad God in the Old Testament, as some early church heretics taught, but it's the very same God. And so we have to understand them as a unity, but of course as a revelation that was revealed gradually over time and came in its fullness in Christ himself. As St. John said, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So let us keep the law, but keep the law because we want to, because we love God, and we trust that he will save us, and because it's not possible that we could earn our salvation, but it's possible by faith that we can be saved through the grace that he has provided. Amen.